Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me is the dynamic duo.
Wait. I think that's been used.
Yeah, we don't want to go there. Who's the dynamic duo?
The people down just before us.
Oh, those guys.
Those guys.
We don't count them.
Yeah, Mike Cosentino here. Good morning.
And Klaus von Stederheim.
And Klaus has been listening to their show, so his brain is addled.
That's right. He just wanders in from Montana once in a while.
Yeah, he listens to this dynamic duo, and he's sort of gone for us.
But we got some serious business here this morning. At least it certainly is developing into a huge issue, isn't it, Steve?
This is probably the hottest issue I've seen in a while in Sedona, and Sedonans are really and truly up in arms, and it's going to get more and more intense. And so we're going to be talking to Supervisor Randy Garrison. He's been on the show before.
He has.
And we had, a pretty good interview with him about county politics.
I guess we don't have to talk like him. He's not here. Good morning, Randy. Randy.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
No, Randy.
Hello.
Yeah. Yes.
You sound. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I don't, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. So how's Randy Garrison this morning?
Great. How are you all doing today?
Very good. Did you hear a little of the promo that Steve knows is really bothered by this El Rojo Grande development?
Sure is getting a lot.
Frankly, Sedona is sort of up in arms, and it's going to get more up in arms. So it's an important issue for us to talk about.
Sure.
What are you hearing at your end, Gary? Randy, Gary. Who's Gary?
Well, a lot. It's definitely a matter of interest to the community at the moment, and not just the community, but the region in general. So can't pretty much go anywhere right now without somebody asking questions about it, and we're getting lots of public comment. So that's good.
Yes, let's talk about public comment. When's our next opportunity?
So the Planning and Zoning Commission, let me look that up real quick. The Planning and Zoning Commission will meet on the 20th, which is Thursday.
Right.
They'll have their first session, and after that session, I believe the commission will be doing a site visit. And then on the 17th of January, they will be having...
Sedona tend to be more involved in politics than most people.
What was that?
I'm sorry, yes. Right now, we are having some technical issues. Steve is having some problems. So if he just starts speaking out, that's because he can't hear you.
Okay.
Let's talk about density, I guess.
Well, let's go back. I'm going to go through the process. So,
please.
They're meeting this week. The commission will be the Planning Zone Commission, which is the first step of our process.
Right.
They'll be meeting on Thursday. They have and public comment is given at that point, or can be given, and the public can see the discussions the board members have amongst themselves and the developer and our planning and or our community development staff, and then on the 17th, they'll come back for their second meeting, possibly to make a recommendation or to look at any changes that are made to the proposal in the meantime. And then on the 7th, we're going to have a Board of Supervisors work session with Community Development to discuss the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendations, if there is one at that point. And then on the 20th, it looks like it'll be being brought forward to the board for final action if the process is still on track at that point.
January 20th.
No, February 20th. So we won't actually see this as a board until the end of February.
Okay. So as a
board. We're a long ways out from the board's perspective.
I see. And that's good.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, Randy, but
My earphones weren't working, so I'm sitting here listening to glorious silence while Mike is getting all the good information out on the air.
Well, I wanted to make sure we got the timeline out, because it's been misprinted in the paper twice now that somehow the board is going to be hearing this in the next, well, either this week or in the coming weeks. And
I'm sorry, won't be hearing this
until at least the 20th of November or February.
We're talking to Randy Garrison, Board of Supervisors from our district. Randy, I'm sorry, we'll go over that timeline one more time, please.
So it'll start the 20th, which is Thursday.
Yep.
That'll be before the Planning and Zoning Commission, their first discussion of this item. And then on the 17th, they'll be having a follow-up discussion on this item and possibly making a recommendation at that point. And that's January 17th. And then February 7th, there is supposed to be a Board of Supervisors work session with Community Development Department to discuss this project. And then February 20th is the earliest that it would be slated to come before the Board of Supervisors. So we're 2 months plus out before the board will actually see this.
Good. Well, that's good information to know, Randy. Tell us a bit about the Board of Supervisors. Incidentally, I did a search, a Google search on the Yavapai Board of Supervisors, and Chip Davis's name comes up as the District 3 supervisor, so you need to talk to him.
IT people a little slow.
Good old Google, in 20 years of history there, it's a little hard to replace him. He was he had big shoes, and he was really busy in that district, and so it's taken me, but we're working hard on trying to make our own place and push him out of Google a little bit. But he's been around for a while. So
on the internet, he's still the supervisor, Gary. That's the thing. All right, let's get serious. This is going to, as I said when I interrupted you, this is going to be a very big issue in Sedona. I live in Sedona, and the force against this thing is just building from about 10 different directions. City Council has opposed it. I would say to say that Sedona is going to be up in arms about this development is kind of an understatement if you know Sedona. So how do you deal with that aspect of it, the political access of it? People are going to be extremely angry if this goes through.
Well, I think – we're at the very beginning of having a conversation about this. So I think, we're a long ways out from any decisions being made. The press and other sources are now, trying to slate that decisions have been made, and I've made my mind up. And if anything, I've been trying to be very visible and very proactive in going out and listening to different aspects of the community. I attended the city council meeting. Spent 2 hours in their discussions on this project. I've, been before the chamber board and listened to their discussions about this. I've been, reaching out to pretty much any group that I can to sit down and hear what the concerns are so that we can go into this and, and I can be a little more prepared to make a decision. But, this is, I'll tell you, and I can't speak for the board. And, once again, this won't be coming before us for 2 months now. So, we're a long ways from making any decisions. We're still collecting information. I'm still waiting for our system to start working. But, when we make a decision like this, and I can tell you there's over 20 such developments that are in the pipeline right now for the next 2 years in Yavapai County. So, that's one of the problems with having an economy that's kicking is, we were dead for so long and behind the curve. So to say, on the national average, we took us a long time to catch up, and now that we're catching up, everything's hitting the fan at the same time. So, we're under a pretty intense economic development push right now, and development is right at the front of that. You can't go anywhere without seeing houses coming up out of the ground, and these larger tracts of land attract a lot of attention, and people have ideas on how to develop it, and now we're moving forward with that process, and it all seems to be getting at the same time because of the way our economy works. But when it comes to me and how we're going to be looking at this decision and the use of this land and how any land develops in the county, the very first thing I look at is our own codes and ethics. So, we have a Verde Valley Regional Land Use Plan that's on the county website. You can go through and read that. That was put together back in, I think, 2006. And it was kind of a community effort. There was a lot of individuals that participated in that. Looked at the Verde Valley and how, you know, we can look at our land being developed here to continue to create the atmosphere and the environment that we have moved here and enjoy. And then on top of that, we have Yavapai County Comprehensive Plan, which kind of is more of a government guidance document. So it speaks on how we want to look at the county on a whole, not just the Verde Valley. And then we have our Planning and Zoning Commission, which, as I said, will be starting their week this Thursday. You know, that's a group of highly trained and very intellectual individuals, and we put a lot of trust and I have a lot of respect in them to do their job and be looking at this from the county's angle and the rules and regulations and how this development or any other development will fit into, you know, what the county sees as being needed and necessary. So, you know, that's the county angle for this. And then, you know, for me, I have to look at the nearest and probably most impacted communities. And in this case, that'd be the city of Sedona. So I go in and I'm looking at their community plan. I want to see how this fits or does not fit in with how they envision themselves and where they want to be and what they want to be. And then I got to look at their land development code, which has just been recently rewritten. And I believe they approved recently. They've been spending about 2 years redeveloping that development code. And then they have their Planning and Zoning Commission on top of that. So I go through and I look at how they've been making their decisions and what they use for guidance on how they want to see development happen within the boundaries of their community. And while this development isn't within those boundaries, it is right next to their community and it is viewed as part of their community. So, you know, obviously we don't want to do anything that wouldn't be seen as being a good neighbor to the, you know, the community that would be probably the highest impacted from this development. And then, you know, the third part of this is me, and I have to go back in and I have to, you know, think about all the work we're doing with looking at workforce housing. I have to look at development. Development is happening, whether it's this piece or it's any other piece, and if this development wasn't to happen, this Rojo Grande project, that's still a 172-acre parcel that will be developed at some point in time. So how do we develop that and get the highest and best use of that land that provides positive outcomes for the communities that will be affected? And Sedona will probably be the highest impacted community. But this development or the development, this property, will impact the entire Verde Valley. You know, one of the things we have to watch is this district, my district, which spans from the other side of Mingus up to Perkinsville, all the way down to the village of Oak Creek to Sedona and everything in between.
That's your district. What number is that district, Randy?
District 3.
District 3. Go ahead.
My district is 75% public land. That leaves 25% developable land. Sedona is now over 80% developed out. You know, we're running out of opportunities to develop property. So, you know, as we move forward and these developments come in, you know, we're going to be, you know, the stakes get a little higher all the time because we're running out of land that can be developed. So we want to make sure whatever we do with that land really does create not only a positive benefit today, but, you know, becomes something that we're proud of as time rolls forward and we can look back 10, 20, 30 years from now and say, that was a good decision.
Well, that's it. As you said, this is a big community that's going to impact the most of Sedona on the Sedona Community Development Plan. This is called the Western Gateway. That has a whole section. You know, that part of the Sedona boundaries is called the Western Gateway, which I think is just a wonderful.
It's extremely important area to Sedona because it's sort of the entrance to Sedona is right by the current development and the projected development. The area is particularly beautiful, folks. If you don't know it, Dry Creek runs through there. It's a wildlife corridor. I've hiked it many times. It's particularly beautiful. And even though you start out, say, under the 80 bridge at 89, you're in a remote area that has no roads, really, until you get way north and east or way south. There's no paved highways through there. It's a very rugged place to hike and very open and very important to people involved in hiking and sports in Sedona. And Dry Creek is one of our arteries of water, wildlife, and everything else, topography in Sedona. It's extremely important to many people. To some people, I think, don't matter. I think, Randy, what I hear is you're asking the question, how can we develop more land and how can we get more development? I think what you're going to run against in Sedona, and you're going to know better than I do, is the feeling that we don't want this kind of development. We really don't want a huge amount of development. Nobody in Sedona is going to support 600 homes right on the edge of town in this very sensitive area. Well, maybe they will.
Well, I think you're hearing me wrong. And that's, I continue to try and get out and open this conversation and be informative and give people the way I'm looking at it and the way the county looks at it and the way our different commissions and the communities around us look at this. Development is coming, whether you like it or not. So it's how do we develop what is left of the land that we have that creates the highest outcome for the future. So just because, I'm not trying to be pro-development. I'm just being realistic. We have development coming. So whether it's this developer that comes in with the Rojo Grande project or they walk away and you have another group come right behind them, these open parcels of land are going to be developed. I mean, Sedona themselves owns one of the larger parcels in the county, which is another 2.5 miles to the west, southwest of the Rojo Grande project. That's where their sewer plant is. And, there have been numerous discussions on how that land will develop. And, as time goes forward and the infill becomes more and more, like I said, Sedona themselves are over 80% filled. We're going to see these larger parcels be viewed more and more as ways to continue to bring in more housing. As far as I'm concerned, this is the most beautiful place on earth, and people want to be here, and I want to be here, and whatever we do as we move forward, I want to make sure we leave not only a beautiful place for my family, but for everybody else that likes to live here as well.
I guess one of the things that in Sedona is people like the fact that it's built out, that it won't grow anymore, that it has a sort of steady state. It has 20% to grow or whatever it is. People like that. There are no large developments such as this within the Sedona city limit. There are no, however good they are, there are no Del Webb developments and stuff in Sedona. All the houses are individually built by different builders. Can we talk a little bit about the company that wants to develop it?
Claus? Yeah, the Democratic Perspective Research Department here.
I can't talk about the company that wants development because I really don't have that much knowledge of them. So.
Yeah, that was my question, Randy. Do you know about the history of Equity Lifestyle Properties, so ELS, and the history specifically in Sedona Shadow, where they've raised the rate four times the rate of inflation and have actually forced homeowners?
I can't tell you those things. I can't speak to them. What I know is they're one of the largest developers of these types of living areas in the world. They have, I believe, about 241 nationwide or worldwide and about 40 or so right here in the state of Arizona. So I've driven through all three developments that are next to this property. I've talked to people who live in all three of them, and we get good and bad. But as far as knowing the business model further into how they do business and all that, I can't talk to that because I really haven't done.
You said three developments.
That direction. That's not really where we're at this point. And say the time with me.
Let me just ask Randy one question.
I'm just sitting back trying to figure out from the community what they feel is or isn't appropriate for the development of this land should it develop.
Randy, is there a point in approving or disapproving this project or asking it to be modified or what, where the history of the company trying to develop land will come into play? Because it's become important to people in Sedona. and its reputation is very bad here. So is that something that you calculate, or are you doing it on more, I guess you call it objective, broader decision-making?
I would say, how do I answer that? Let me go here. It's premature for me to get involved in the business ethics or the business practices of this company. Well, like I said, this doesn't even go to planning and zoning until Thursday. I don't know at what point in time this will move past them and actually come to the Board of Supervisors. So if it does, then at that point, you know, I think it's February 7th is the first time we're going to be in front of the Community Development Department. That'll be probably about the time I actually start digging into the business practices of this company. But at this point in time, I don't have a plan in front of me. So, you know, for me to start digging into their business, it really is fairly premature.
I understand that. I appreciate your work in this issue.
Can we name those three communities that are Sedona Shadows is one of them. What are the
Sedona
three?
Sedona Shadows, Sedona Pines, and Sedona. Oh man, the one on top. So.
Okay. I know Sedona Shadows been out there. I've been out to Sedona Pines. Where do we go? You're a county supervisor, and you have a whole lot of people upset about a proposal that you really don't have the details on yet, right? You don't really,
right.
You have not done the county has not done the research and not, but it's, it, and in that sense, you're saying it's premature.
Well, I can't say the county hasn't. Our, you know, our community development department obviously is neck deep in this right now. And all that information is being compiled and disseminated to our Planning and Zoning Commission. So, you know, that's the first step. They're the ones who are going to be looking at this from the rules angle and how does this fit with not only our comprehensive plan, but the Verde Valley Regional Land Use Plan as well as all our zoning and land use ordinances. So, they're going to be looking into the specifics of this. I'm a long ways out yet. That process has to move forward. They're going to be asking the questions. They may be asking the developer to come in and make modifications or changes. They may come back and flat out deny this type of a land application. But they have to go through the process first. That's the way this works. It won't come before the board and before me, and I won't have to take a vested interest in this process until we get past them actually make a decision, because there's so much that can change between now and that day that getting any further into it at this point would be way premature for me.
I think that's a good point, Randy, and we understand that there's a process that has to go to, but that process is going to run into an awful lot of angry folks shortly. I know that you know that, but I wonder if the rest of the county understands how Sedona feels about the project, fair or not. I mean, there's I've seen Sedona get its back up and get like this before. And as somebody who's been in town now 15 years and watched the processes, I can tell you this is going to be a biggie here. There's all these websites out already. There's letters from pretty much everybody politically active in Sedona opposing the project. City Council has opposed it. So the county supervisor's process, which you've got to stick with, we understand that, you have to stick with it, is going to hit a kind of, what would you call it, Mike? Not a bulldozer.
Well, no, there's certainly going to be some attendance, which the county supervisors and the certainly encourage. We're talking to Randy Garrison, who is Yavapai County Supervisor, one vote of five, I might mention.
Yes,
this morning on Democratic Perspective. Randy, it is true that, and we certainly appreciate you kind of getting in front of this and appearing on Democratic Perspective this morning, even though, as you've pointed out, and hopefully listeners will listen to it, and this will be, by the way, this will be podcasted, this will be archived, so if you're listening now and you're missing anything, it'll be up on the VVID website in a couple of days, and you can play it back and get the dates, as many as you want. But other people have done the research and already are certainly responding to the research that the county staff and other people may be doing, but and some of it doesn't sound too good. Our crack research department here at Democratic Perspective, Kloss, is going to tell us a little bit about ELS, the company that's...
Well, I've already said that at least as Shadows is concerned, I mean, their business practice don't seem to be particularly ethical. In fact, the very opposite of that. The question
I want to go back and talk for a second about, there was a question asked just a second ago about the board and how the board will look at this.
I wanted to ask a question.
I'm just one of five individuals that will be looking at this. Should it actually make it through the planning and zoning process? One of the things I think that's important to understand, like I said, there's about 20 plus projects coming through the pipelines right now through the greater Yavapai County area. Everybody, even though we're elected to represent the entire county, 235,000 people at this point, one of the largest land masses in the United States as far as counties go, size of Israel, size of New Jersey. That's a huge amount of land that we have to take into consideration. Each individual board member will be chiming in on this project as well as all the other ones. But I guess for me, I was elected by the local constituency, and when I look at these projects, I have to keep, a broad look at, is this the best thing for Yavapai County, and how are we going to deal with all these needs and wants and the growth issues of our county as more and more people want to come here? But for me, it becomes much more personal. I'm fifth generation Verde Valley. I grew up here. I watched this develop. I've watched this land fill, and I've watched all the issues that growth and development have brought with them, and I still choose to live here because I still think it's the prettiest, best place on earth to be, and I love my communities, and I love my district, and so absolutely, what Sedona thinks, and the Sedona Council, and the Sedona staff, how they look at this development, it will matter to me. Our community development department, what we do there, they're going to be making sure we don't do anything that's harmful for the community in the long run. But it's going to be my job to really speak for and to the people of this community to find out what they do and don't want. But, like I said, one of the problems that we're under is land is going to be developed whether we like it or not. So how do we develop what we have left, because there's very little left, in a meaningful manner?
A lot of people agree with you, and I agree with you. I mean, I look at a map of Sedona. I see Forest Service on three sides of Sedona. I see a highway between Sedona and Cottonwood, and I see an opening for development. If you're going to develop something, the area we're speaking of, the highway from Sedona to Cottonwood makes the most sense. I don't need a PhD in development to see that it makes sense to develop the cities that way. However, I think like I said, people have already done a mass amount of opposition research, including costs. So we are looking for ELS in the coming county process through P&Z, through the Board of Supervisors. We're going to be looking for ELS to answer some questions about their business practices. Is that safe to say, Klaus?
Yes, we do want to appreciate you being with us, Randy. We know this is a controversial issue. District 3, you represent this area. There's five districts, right? But you're representing the district where the development is taking place.
Yes, sir.
And we're your voters, right? for guys who, in some ways, I don't know about Mike and Klaus, I hate to see these controversies break out like this, but on the other hand, there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, as long as they remain civil. But let's talk about some of the things that people are mad about.
No, I wanted to ask a different question, actually. Historically, Randy, the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission, how much of an influence does that have on the final vote of the supervisors? Have you ever overridden them, or have you never overridden them, or How has that worked historically?
So, you know, the board is made up of commissioners that are appointed to represent each individual district. So I have people on there that I have put their names forward as being representative of my beliefs and what I believe are educated and understanding of the values of these communities. And each other supervisor has done the same thing. So this is a group of what I call highly trained, highly intellectual people who do this. And they will be carrying into all of the different details of you know, this proposal as it goes through the process. And so when they make a decision and it comes back to the Board of Supervisors to make a final determination, it's not something that any one of the supervisors takes lightly, because we have put that group in place to do this job. And if we don't trust their work, don't trust the decision that they've made, then it really is of little value to us to have that commission. And I can tell you, I value them highly. So does it mean if they vote for it or against it that the supervisors will follow suit? Not necessarily. We recently had a process go through with a permit that was applied for in the village of Oak Creek to do with the outlets, and the commission came back unanimous in support of that, and we still had one supervisor vote against the proposal. So it does happen. I won't say it happens very often or it's very likely, but it does happen. You know, when you're standing up in front of the crowd and you're having to make a vote and make a decision, there's a lot of things that can affect how you do that. And we're all individuals, and we all have our own thoughts and meanings, their beliefs at the end of the day, and we all make that decision based on those. And so, but for me, I value their work very highly, and I'm looking forward to them getting into the weeds on this proposal so we can vet out some more information on it and then see where it goes from there.
Well, I, as you pointed out, some of what we wanted to talk about this morning on Democratic Perspective is a little premature because of the county process. But certainly there are, as Steve mentioned, lots of people in Sedona that have done lots of research already. There's at least one website and parts of others that are dedicated to opposing the El Rojo Grande development on the west side here of Sedona. As I have to admit, I've never been on the property personally myself, but there's certainly been a lot of people have. The Western Gateway, as the Sedona Community Plan calls it, and it will be interesting to see over the next couple of months how the Western Gateway in the Sedona Community Plan matches up or disagrees with the Yavapai County comprehensive plans and see where development ends up. It's as we've said, it's difficult to be opposed to. It's always about jobs. We've been talking for 31 minutes now about a development, and we haven't said a word about jobs, and we haven't said a word about private property rights. As people own property and bring developments to those government bodies that make the decisions, they have certain rights and responsibilities, and it's the jobs of the commissions that we just talked about, planning and zoning, and ultimately the Board of Supervisors to make sure they've done their jobs.
And we want to thank you being with us. We understand you have to run pretty soon, and it's good to have a solid and calm discussion of this issue. And maybe we can have you on again in January or something, or February, as things begin to develop and we understand where this thing is going.
Before you go, Randy, I believe that this is going to turn on, well, I think the legal part of this, or at least as I've started to talk about earlier, and that's density. You guys, meaning the Planning and Zoning and Board of Supervisors, they're coming to you with a zoning change. They're saying, we want these 600 homes, 60 RV spots. And so the complaint, or at least the discussion, the rational discussion, hopefully, could be around density. Am I correct?
Oh, density is definitely part of the discussion. You know, which goes back to other factors, you know, traffic. There's a lot of things that will play into the Planning and Zoning Commission's discussions. Traffic, water, and sewer are amongst those. And while it isn't necessarily something that the board will look at specifically when it looks at how it does or doesn't move forward with approval or not of this project, it definitely is impactful to me because, you know, we have the highest tourist traffic in my district of any of the five districts. So, you know, there's more impacts here in ways that other board supervisors don't necessarily deal with their community if they develop. So, you know, there's a lot of impacts that are coming. Jobs is huge. You know, as you know, there's a severe lack of workforce housing. Right now, the last study, which is about a year and a half old at this point, says, you know, we're lacking about 1,800 housing units for our workforce currently. And yet we continue to add more hotels and more businesses into our community that do nothing but add to that workforce need. So it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And as Airbnb comes in and removes what is left of any workforce housing in our communities, it becomes even more impactful. So, you know, jobs and workforce are definitely going to be huge issues. Traffic is never going to get better here. It's only going to get worse. We're stuck with a transportation system that is woefully locked into the corridors that we currently have, which are mostly managed by ADOT. And that's one thing I wanted to bring up. You know, we've got really lucky last year or last week. We were notified we just got awarded a $25 million federal build grant to work on a new corridor. So for this district and for Yavapai County, we, you know, just in the Verde Valley, we're close to $30 million in federal grants and state grants this year on working on our transportation system, which is huge. That would be huge for the county. For the Verde Valley, it's massive. So, you know, we're continuing to push forward and try and figure out how to deal with the impacts as we have them now, but we also have to look at these impacts as they move forward, and traffic is going to be one of them. You can't begin to look at development in the state of Arizona, let alone the Verde Valley or Yavapai County, without thinking about water. Water is always going to be on the table and have to be a matter of concern. And then, you know, on top of that, we have sewer. We live in an environmentally sensitive area, and this one, Rojo Grande, is kind of at the pinnacle of that. So, you know, as we do development, that will inevitably be coming. How do we deal with, you know, the additions of traffic and, you know, water use and sewer and mitigate all those concerns and still, at the end of the day, provide a meaningful impact, positive meaningful impact for our communities and the way the land does eventually develop?
Well, the traffic is huge. The $25 million grant is great, but just to be clear, it's going to be shared between Cottonwood, Sedona, and other Verde Valley communities, and certainly some people felt, I've already heard some discussion about this grant in the community, and some people are saying, well, $25 million is great, but $25 million shared among all those communities may not.
No, that's not the truth. This grant was put forward specifically for what we're calling the Verde Connect project, which I label as the Beaverhead Flat Extension. So we're in the middle of a process right now of developing a corridor that will run between Cornville Road and Highway 260, somewhere between Cottonwood and I-17. That's a 14-mile span or section of Verde River that has no bridge over it. So this project and that grant are specifically put in place to build the bridge over Verde River in the Camp Verde area.
That second bridge over there. That's great. Yeah, I was driving out the other day down Hogan Lane and looking across it. Yeah, that's okay. So it's specific for that. That's important. Thank you very much. We want to mention the traffic Sedona just came off of, and that's one of the reasons this is getting such a reaction, I think, from the community. They just came off the recent election where traffic was such a huge issue, and so the traffic at the Western Gateway seems to be another, as you already mentioned, a huge point of something to consider in all of
this. It's a sensitive issue, too, Mike, in West Sedona, because most of us, when we go to Phoenix, if you live in West Sedona, we go out through 89A down through Cottonwood.
Right.
So this road would improve the speed with which you could get down to Phoenix. And that's one reason, Randy, that people are so concerned about congestion, because this is our last uncongested road. It's the last road you could get in your car and drive up to Sedona in. And so it's a sensitive issue that way.
Oh, you can't go in a community in the Verde Valley that isn't impacted by traffic right now. It's here, and it's just going to get worse. And part of that is we just have, because of our topography, a severe lack of usable corridors to be able to put more roads into. So the roads that we have and the roads that have been developed are just going to be impacted a little higher all the time.
Randy, as a resident of Camp Verde, do you have any idea where that bridge is going to be?
No idea. So we actually have a meeting today. We started the process in January to move forward with this study. We've been out twice now for public meetings, and we've met with different entities and the councils throughout the Verde Valley to discuss the plan. We've been taking public comment for about the last 6 months, and we're now at the point of compiling all that data and their concerns and their views and their opinions and their thoughts and proposals that they've put forward, and we'll be reducing those to hopefully no more than 3 or 4 ideas or proposals on where this corridor would be able to go. You know, one thing we have to look at, we have to look at the archaeological aspects of all this land that we're going to be crossing. Most of it's Forest Service land. So we have to look at the archaeological. We have to look at private property. We have to look at environmental. We have to look at the wildlife. And then we got to figure out how to get across the river. So, you know, there's a lot of work that's going into creating these, what we hope will be no more than 3 or 4 proposals. And then once we narrow that batch down, we'll be going out to the public one more time with that list of a very short list of corridor ideas. And we'll see what the public thinks of those proposals. And should we move forward, we'll hopefully get it down to one proposal sometime by June, and go out to public comment one more time so everybody can see it and chime in. And if we can get consensus amongst the communities and the board to move forward, then we'll start with engineering and design.
Randy, we talked a lot this morning. We got a lot done, but we'd like to invite you back because we're sure there's going to be more. You can come back, right?
Oh, yes, sir. You're always anxious to talk about Yavapai County and the Verde Valley specifically. So, yes, sir, just let me know. I'd be more than happy to.
And, Randy, the Board of Supervisors is expecting to have a large population increase in Yavapai County?
Well, we're expecting the census that's happening in 2020. We're expecting that to come back and push us just north of 250,000.
We've been talking to Randy Garrison, Yavapai County Board of Supervisors, about the El Rojo Grande development. We want to mention that we talked about a lot of information this morning. We're going to have him back to talk about more. We want to say that this show, this Democratic Perspective show and all our shows are available at vvid.org. These are archived on our website, Verde Valley Independent Democrats. .org. Let me start that again. Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. We'll have this show up in a couple of days. We want to thank our supporters, the Democrats of the Red Rocks, that help keep Democratic Perspective on the air. Klaus von Stuttenheim, who helped keep Democratic Perspective on the air.
Yavapai Democrats, Mike.
We call ourselves the Yavapai Democratic Party. Dash Cottonwood, having a meeting Tuesday, by the way, at Red Rooster Cafe, if you want to come and have a little holiday stuff. We have some great speakers coming to Old Sedona Bar and Grill via the Democrats of the Red Rocks. We have Adrian Fontes coming, and Stacy Champion will be speaking at the monthly breakfast of DOR, of Democrats at Red Rocks, at in Sedona at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill at 8:30 in the morning.
Before you gentlemen kick me out, one more thing. You know, I definitely we're at the very beginning of this process, and not only this process, but anything happening in the Verde Valley. If you feel a need to reach out and let me know, my address is District 3, that's a numeral 3, at yavapai.us. You know, feel free to reach out and send me an email. On this proposal specifically, you got a concern, you got a comment, Pro or con, doesn't really matter. We want to hear about it. I, you know, I take what my constituents say very seriously.
Thanks, Randy.
Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.